Charity shindigs, especially the dames. What class, what refinement, what cultured tomatoes. Hey, get a load of that one. You who?
Boys, boys, in polite society, we don't say you who, we say you whom.
Nick, hi.
Hi.
You remember Mrs. Charles?
Hi.
Hi.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
What you doing on a clam bake like this? You ain't detectiving, are you?
Mrs. Charles thinks that we should cultivate some people who haven't served time. She wants to create the proper atmosphere for Nicky Jr.
Jr.? Hey, how is the little squirt?
The little squirt is fine. And thanks to your teaching, he can crack any safe in town now in 15 minutes.
31 and black.
31 and black. Mama, that's us. You shouldn't have talked that way to my friends. They're very sensitive.
I didn't mean to hurt them. I love them. They're perfect gentlemen. Right down to their fingerprints.
I've got a great idea.
What is it?
Let's go home.
What's at home?
You, my pipe, my slippers.
Nicky, I think you're slipping.
Darling, give me my pipe, my slippers, and a beautiful woman, and you can have my pipe and slippers.
That's sweet. We're staying here.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Buddy Hollis and his famous clarinet.
Really whacked up tonight.
He'd be sporting a whack job, too, if he was carrying a torch like he's carrying for little Cookie over there.
Wrong. Boat rocking too much for you? Or is the Reed man's condition a little too tough to take? The sensational Buddy Hollis. Sounded more like a kid with a kazoo. And his own tune, too. It isn't bad enough getting on the jumping juice, disappearing for days to the clip, forgetting where he's been. He doesn't even know where he is when he gets back. If you ask me, the guy's blown his top.
So what do you expect after the pushing around we gave him?
Maybe you'd like to patch things up with him.
Would kind of make it convenient for you and those other dames you've been chasing around with lately, wouldn't it?
Oh, you've been peeking.
I must have blown my top, kicking Buddy over for a road company Casanova like you.
Well, there you are. Bandstand too crowded for you? Maybe you'd like me to bring the boys out here.
Sorry, boss man.
Mind taking a girlfriend with you?
Ex-girlfriend.
Brings sunshine into everyone's life, doesn't it?
Stay out in that sunshine long enough, you get a third-degree burn.
Where are you going?
I can't stand that early kiss of yours too long without another drink.
Sit down.
What do you mean?
I sit down.
Hey, take it from
Billy. You better get out of there. Come on.
Get him up. Get him out of here. He's all right. Hey.
You didn't have to hit him.
No, I should have stood there and let him grease my scalp with that clarinet.
Man, he's beat. He couldn't lift it that high.
Well, what did you expect me to do?
Just what you did.
He's through. Get him out of here.
Hold on, wait a minute.
I don't want any part of him. Get him out.
What goes on here? Trying to turn this boat into a fishing barge?
Relax, Phil. The band is my business.
While it's working on this boat, it's my business.
Okay, if that's the way you want it. When I finish here tonight, we'll wash up for good.
I don't like fast shuffles, Tommy.
Well, here's a card right off the top of the deck. Mitch Talbin's booked a tour of dance halls for me. Why, I can make more money with him in 30 weeks than I could with you in 30 years. You see, your publicity man did a good job on me.
That awful smell around here must be your gratitude.
Gratitude? Remind me to look that word up. I'll be in your office later for my dough.
Dough? Remind me to look that word up.
I need that money, Bill. The bookies are putting the squeeze on me.
I'm going to be left holding the bag and holding everything that's in it. And remember, nothing foolish.
There he is. Get him.
What's all the fuss, Al?
Heard you was going on tour.
Yeah, first stop Miami.
Got a lot of friends in Miami. Want me to have them look you up?
Gee, Al, I intended to pay you before I left town.
No hurry. We'll be around till closing.
If Mitch Talbin were here, I'd pay you what I owe you right now. I just signed up with him.
Where's Mitch Talbin?
Oh, Mitch. Mitch.
Hello, Tommy. You know Tommy Drake.
Feel as though I know him intimately.
Yeah, baby's quite a fan of yours. How are we doing, kid?
Well, I finally had it out with Grant.
Everything okay?
Yeah, it's all set, except that... Well, I've got to have some money.
Sure, anything you want.
I need $12,000.
$12,000? That's a lot of money.
My luck's been a little sour lately, Mitch, but... I'm good for it. I'll sign my tour money over to you.
Yeah, I know, but trains get wrecked, planes crash, you might drop dead. Oh, I got to think that over.
You better think fast, Mitch. I got to have it before closing.
Well, I can think faster after I've had a drink. Come on, this is now.
This is important, Mitch.
Come on, come on.
Baby, do you want to eat, or do you want to drink, or do you want to dance?
I'm sure you wouldn't want to lose this.
Oh, thank you.
Not at all. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Very welcome. Beautiful thing. The necklace.
Oh, Mr. Charles.
Thank you.
Nora.
Hello.
We've been looking all over for you. You know Mr. Therapthorpe.
Yes.
Well, we've saved a place for you at our table, down the other end of the room. We're table hoppers. You'll excuse us.
Yes.
Why? Who are they?
Just people who invited us.
Oh.
You ought to remember the Thayers.
I ought.
He presented the museum with $1 million worth of antiques.
He did?
Yes, they're very nice.
He seems especially nice. The guy carrying a gun.
A gun?
Yes, I felt it just now when we locked bumpers. You know, if this rampage of respectability persists, we'll have to get you a bulletproof girdle.
If you people think a gambler like Bryant is going to turn the entire evening's proceeds over to charity, you're being very naive.
Well, he is. Janet arranged it. I don't know how she ever persuaded him to.
That doesn't take much imagination.
Hello, Mr. Brandt.
How are you?
You know everybody.
How do you do?
We were just remarking about your generosity, Mr. Brandt.
Oh, I'm getting my cut.
I thought so.
A dance with your daughter. May I have that dance now, Miss Thayer?
Janet has just finished dancing. I'm sure she's tired.
I'd love to dance, Mr. Brandt.
Janet.
Take a seat.
Well, maybe we'd better make this some other time.
Father, if you'll take the trouble of consulting my birth certificate, you'll find that I'm of full age and perfectly capable of making my own decisions. Phil.
Darling. I don't think the blue-blooded Mr. Thayer is going to like the idea of his daughter being married to a guy like me.
Tomorrow there won't be anything he can do about it.
You're sure you want to go through with it? Maybe no dice.
It's going to be a natural.
Oh. I'll go down to my office, get my things and some money. Meet me at the companionway in 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bertha. Tell Mr. Charles his breakfast is ready. Corn flakes before comics.
But, Mom.
After breakfast, Nicky.
Well, morning, son.
Hi, Dad. Gee, you look keen.
Beautiful day. Thought I'd dress for it.
Looks like a page out of Esquire.
Not the page I saw. I'm through. Oh, boy, another murder. How do you like that? It's a trap.
What?
I knew Roy shouldn't have trusted that arsonist, Annie. She's a man dressed in woman's clothes.
Annie's a man?
Sure, it's a dead giveaway. A dame would never pass a mirror like that without looking to see if her slip was showing.
Dame?
Well, that's what Daddy always says.
I never say dame. I always say doll. Dish. Well, anyway, it was a very shrewd deduction.
Don't throw the paper away. I want to read about that murder. Maybe we can figure it out. Asa! Asa!
Your father's no longer interested in murders.
Button.
Goodbye. Nicky, the piano is in the living room.
But, Mom, I got a pitch today.
Couldn't he practice later?
He's going over to the Thayers this afternoon to meet their youngster. They might ask him to play, and I want him to be at his best. Go on. Get... Aster, you stay out of this.
Come on, come on. Come on.
Nick. Come here. Come here. Now, you see why I'm worried? He's been ducking his practicing all week. I think you're going to have a good spanking.
Spanking?
Spanking.
Very well.
Oh, no, I'm his mother. You're his father.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
Nick?
Come here, son. I regret that I'm going to have to take a certain corrective action. This is the way they do it.
Reward, you'll have no radio for the rest of the week.
But, Mom...
Your mother is absolutely right.
Go to your room. Did you know about this glove?
Why, Nora...
Pardon me, Mrs. Charles. Mr. and Mrs. Brandt are here to see you.
Mr. and Mrs.
Janet Thayer. She did it. She told me they were going to elope. Come on.
Well, the newlyweds.
Congratulations.
Come on, Mr. Charles.
Well,
what a surprise. Congratulations, Mr. Brandt. If you go out and come in again, we can throw some rice at you.
Yes, we throw some old shoes, too, but we're wearing them.
Please forgive us. We just flew in from Atlantic City, and, well, when we read the newspapers...
Oh, the secret's out, huh?
This calls for a celebration.
Yes.
Celebration?
Mr. Charles has been saving his last bottle of scotch for just such an occasion. Nicky, where is that bottle?
Oh, it's in my red pajamas, dear. In the left leg.
Sit down.
Bertha, let's have some ice and soda. Never mind, we have some. I hope you don't mind drinking this early.
I could use a drink, though I suppose I'll just be celebrating being elected public enemy number one.
Oh, by the Thayers, you mean. You found it.
It was in the right leg. Mr. Charles, I think you have this all wrong. Have you read the morning paper?
No, I haven't quite gotten to it yet. But I do know that,
Well, Phil didn't do it. Oh, I know a lot of people heard him threaten Drake, and that made it look bad, but he was just trying to scare him a little. This is why we've come to ask your help. Phil wouldn't shoot anybody.
I'm sorry. I'd like to discuss this matter further, but, I'm afraid it'll have to be by telephone.
But, Nick...
Darling, Mr. Brandt is wanted by the police. Our having him here without notifying them makes us accessories after the fact. And I don't think you'd find prison gray very becoming.
I'm sorry you couldn't have the drink. Perhaps some other time.
It's quite all right.
I don't want to appear inhospitable. Here, take the bottle with you.
I imagine that shot was meant for me.
Phil, no.
A fine way to kill a bottle.
What goes on? What happened?
Vicky, go to your room.
That's the murderer whose picture was in the paper. Hold on to him. I'll buzz the cops.
You buzz right back to your room.
What happened? Did you pick anyone up here in the last few minutes? I didn't pick anybody up in the last 10 minutes. Right back.
Was anyone hurt?
Yes, an old friend of mine went completely to pieces.
What was it?
Oh, probably some drunk rehearsing for the fourth.
In September?
Well, he was drunk.
Did you discover anything?
Yes. Never entertain newlyweds until you've read the morning papers.
There's the Charles apartment.
Police, duck in there.
Well, where is he? We got a flash that there's a maniac running amok up here.
What's that, blood?
I wish it were.
Mr. Charles and I were just trying to launch our little boy's battleship.
Well, there is something wrong, ain't there?
I'm afraid our son has been listening to too much radio.
Oh, we get that all the time.
Just a minute. You'd be the fair-haired boys of the force if you could bring Phil Brandt in, wouldn't you?
Phil Brandt?
Little surprise for you. Come in. There you are.
Holy hollering cats, Phil Brandt.
That's the sweetest double cross I've ever been handed, Charles. Unless you have to say, the better off you'll be, Brandt.
But he didn't shoot anybody. Somebody even shot at him. You're a witness, Mrs. Charles.
Hand-picked. Mr. Brandt may be able to fool some people with that phony shooting gag, but I've seen it pulled far too often even to be amused.
But, Mr. Charles, somebody did shoot at him.
By special arrangement with Mr. Brandt himself. A quaint old maneuver to divert suspicion. Or, as they say in the movies, they went that away.
You're right, Mr. Charles. It's an oldie, a very old oldie.
It's a lie, and he knows it. But he's the great Nick Charles, a mastermind. We came over here asking your help, and you've helped us. As you've helped Phil right into the electric chair.
Save it for your lawyer, lady.
Thank you, Mr. Charles. Thanks a lot. Come on.
I could have sworn that shot was on the level.
Oh, it was on the level.
What? Well, then why did you say...
Darling, with Brandt around loose, there'd be other shots. One of them might hit the mark. He'll be safer in jail.
Oh. Then you don't think he killed Drake?
Oh, that I don't know.
I suppose jail is the best place temporarily. But suppose he's innocent and can't prove it. Then it wouldn't be so temporary. Nicky, the police do make mistakes.
Yes, there's a cheerful thought. Just what I've been thinking.
Of course, if you were on the case... There would
be no mistake. You know, it's positively sadistic the way you drive me to work. Well, all right, Mrs. Legree.
My Nicky.
But for the time being, we'll work without the police.
Nothing new, folks. Nothing new. Get going.
Hey, Matt, how about it?
Sorry. Well, I got your photographs this afternoon with the rest of them news fellows. Ain't nobody getting on or off that boat without a pass from the inspector.
Well, have you boys decided what kind of a gun Drake was shot with?
Ballistics is a little bit puzzled, but they'll figure it out. Hey, you. Got a pass?
Pass? When does a peaceful citizen need a pass to stroll along the waterfront?
Well,
there'll be a letter in the Morning Times about this.
What's the matter now, Callahan?
Patrolman Davis is hungry again. Gotta get him a couple of sandwiches.
Hmm. Sitting out on that deck kind of gave me an appetite, too.
What'll it be?
Chowder, and be sure it's hot. My rheumatism's killing me.
Cold out there tonight, huh?
Naturally. Whenever there's a job involving some slight inconvenience, such as risking pneumonia, Michael Callahan gets it. Oh, and a couple of hams on white to go out. And no pickalilly this time.
No pickalilly. What's yours?
A couple of hams on white to go out, please. No pickalilly.
30 cents.
Sandy, I wish your chowder was as thick as the fog. Get out of my boat. That's who I am.
Look, how'd you like to make yourself a quick $5?
Get into the boat.
I just want you to row me out of that gambling ship.
Get out of the boat.
$25.
Get into the boat. For $25, I give it the boat.
I can't see me eyes before me.
It's Captain Kent. Can't you see the rings of me ears?
Oh, it's you, Callahan. Did that come out of you, Callahan?
You'll be answering questions instead of asking them if you can't explain what the anchor's doing up out of the water.
Anchor? Out of the water? I'll see if I have it right away.
Hey. Lay off there, away, so I call you.
Callahan, that ain't an anchor out of the water. It's a dinghy. Now, how did that dinghy get there?
Neat at the inspector, was it?
What's the excitement, boy?
Huh? It's just a razor blade. No, it couldn't have been Somerset Maugham.
Who's that?
It's me, Bright Eyes. Who are you expecting, Admiral Halsey?
What are you doing down there?
Walking up. Know any other way of getting on this ship? Here's your sandwiches. Now, where did you get that?
Well, you brought it.
How? By mental telepathy?
You put it on the box when you told me to go down and look at the anchor.
What anchor?
Why, the anchor that... Look, Callahan, you're past the retiring age. Now, why don't you put in for your pension?
If you're insinuating that I gave you that sandwich...
Well, who did? Captain Kidd with the rings in his ears? Callahan, if you didn't bring me this sandwich, then we've got uninvited guests.
Mm-hmm. What is it, fella? Smells something interesting? Maestro. It's a reminder that I love you, Fran.
Unfaithfully, Joan.
Tommy, you dog. But I can't help it.
Alice. Quiet, Esther.
Introduced by Tommy Drake and Orchestra. Piccolo Five. Received to Tommy Drake the sum of $12,000 in full payment of all debts. Al Amboy. Well, a fine, itchy-fingered hand to Mr. Amboy.
I'll take that piece of music.
If you're afraid of my bursting into song, it'd be a little difficult with the piccolo part.
I said I'd take that piece of music.
Go a little easy with that knife, brother. Just one word from me and that dog of mine will tear you to pieces.
Give me that four of some air in your
kidneys. Wait a minute. You win. I'm afraid these old kidneys wouldn't take a very good vulcanizing job. There you are. Get it out.
That explains the dinghy.
I report it to shore.
Master.
Lighthearted about murder?
With Drake, that bullet was an improvement.
Solid.
Who are you?
My name is Nick Charles.
Cop? Cop. We got a pass from the inspector. We had to get our instruments. Let's go, fellas. We're packing.
You know, the Constitution says the gate's got a right there in livelihood. Well, we ain't so lively without our tools.
Do you know anyone besides Brant who might have been interested in knocking Drake off?
Try the phone book. You might find a couple of names on every page.
Sally.
Wait a minute. He was shot, remember?
What were you doing in Brant's office last night?
Me in Brant's office?
Yeah, you dropped one of those blades.
Hold the phone. Every man uses a reed, uses a blade. I ain't the only reed man in the band.
Hey, that whacked up Buddy Hollis was in Brant's office last night.
He was just trying to get his job back.
Did Brant fire him?
Drake fired him. They had a battle over a dame.
He ain't gonna knock nobody off over a dame.
Well, he was in there.
Where can I find this whacked up character?
Oh, he's been bouncing around from place to place lately. You'll probably dig him in one of the jam joints.
Come again?
Dig him in one of the jam joints. Where the boys go after closing and really ride? Just the cats and intellectuals. A Rooty Toots and Bobby Socks is for Bolton.
Sally.
Well, I don't wear Bobby Socks, but would you say I was a Rooty Toot?
Strictly.
But
I guess I can ace you in.
Well, considering the resemblance between this blade and the one in Brant's office, I think you'd better. Shall we go?
Go? Oh, the dust don't start rising till deuce of bells.
Come again?
He means those jams don't get started till around 2.
Come on, get going, you fellas. You can't stay here all night.
Okay, Cossack.
You know the clock towers?
Yeah, sure.
These are bells.
Yeah. I'll be there.
What's that? Where'd you put that piccolo part? Where'd you put it?
No. Where is it?
Hey, you planning to spend the night?
No, I was just looking for my instrument.
Is it one of them big bass tuba things?
Yes. Yeah, that's it.
Well, there it is.
Hmm? Oh, yes. Thanks.
If it was any bigger, it'd bite you. Now get it and get it.
Yeah. Solid.
Come in. Well, you're early. I was getting on kind of a nervous kick just sitting around there waiting.
Darling,
this is Mr. Clarence Krause, affectionately known at Local 802 as Clinker.
How do you do, Mr. Clinker?
Well, the first spot we hit is Mitch Talbin, big band booker. Boy, they really flicked the whiskers at his bakes. I brought along the old liquor stick. Of course, if the Reed man's already riding, I'm nowheres.
Mrs. Charles always wears her mouth open with this outfit. Come along.
No. Look, swinging the classics is strictly off the cuff.
Taxi?
A gay who knows his dots takes his Beethoven and his Brahms straight. You know what I mean?
Get in. No, thanks.
We don't want to intrude.
Get in.
Get in.
Well, I'll be seeing you.
Get in. I've been waiting for you to come home, Nick. Thought you were still nosing around out on the boat.
No, I didn't care so much for the passenger list.
Look, Nick, I've been with the cops all day. They think maybe I had something to do with Drake's killing because the guy owed me some dough.
That's silly. If a guy owes you money and you kill him, he can't pay you.
Very smart.
Elementary.
I tried to tell him Drake paid off.
But I even signed a receipt that was written in Drake's own handwriting. But they couldn't find that receipt. I sent the shiv over to see why. I know you got that receipt, Nick. I want the cops to get it. I want you to tell them where you found it. You should have done that right away.
Yes, I intended to. I'm a little forgetful.
I don't like people who forget things like that. See that you don't forget again.
I'll remind him.
Is that the spot?
Yeah.
Just a minute. You forgot something.
Oh, yeah.
You needn't wait.
Man after my own heart.
After my heart, you mean. And probably get it, too, if I don't dig up that receipt.
Dig it up?
Yeah.
Well, I thought you said...
Well, it got us out of the cab, didn't it? They might not have believed that I didn't have it.
Oh, Nicky.
Now, don't worry, darling. We're on no spot, but the solution of the crime won't get us all.
Penthouse, you know. These Talbin jams are the tops, but it's like I told you, strictly for Gates and Gutbusters. Hey, I tell you what. You're a slush pump man.
Come again?
Da-da-da-da! Strictly from Memphis. And you? You're a canary, strictly from Memphis.
Canary?
Well, I could say you pluck a hot harp.
Mr. Charles doesn't find that receipt, he'll be plucking a harp.
Mitch boy!
Clinker! I see you brought the pipe.
Ah, ready to light. Oh, why don't you meet a couple of friends of mine? Another man, McGee, and the missus.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Hottest pump man in Memphis.
Second hottest. Do you play an instrument, too?
No, I'm a mudhead. A bird. A canary.
A canary?
Strictly from Tennessee.
Oh, Talbin had Drake in the band booked for a big tour.
Yeah, poor Tommy didn't leave enough money for a decent funeral. Even asked me to square a $12,000 marker for him before he was shot.
Well, I hope you kissed your $12,000 goodbye.
Oh, no, that money never left the station. I always figured him for a bad risk.
Your talent, darling.
This is baby, Mrs. Talbin.
How do you do?
We met before. The charity ball? You remember when you dropped your necklace?
Oh, yes.
Well, why aren't you wearing the necklace, baby? You're wearing the earring.
Is it the jeweler's, darling, having the class fixed?
Well, let's get going. They're really starting to roll.
Come on in.
Watch out there, monster!
Swing yourself! This kid, I gotta get. Put it in the deck, shoving it up, and shoving it up. Spread some of that French ship right
there. Bop, man.
Bop, rinyaka.
Love it, love it. Come on, live a little, Diggy. Live a little, man. My body needs lifting. Lay it on me, man. Lay it on me. I love it, love it.
Now hold it, playmate. Okay, you can save it. Tommy Drake won't stay dead on me. From out of nowhere, his broken-down theme song comes back to haunt me.
Sounds rather catchy.
Ah, tune in, man. I'm talking about that broken-down Under the Stars jazz.
Under the Stars?
Yeah, and the piccolo part, yes.
Piccolo part? What about it? Have you got it?
Relax, man, relax. It's been cremated. Ooh, take that music. It sends me out of this world.
Should have sent you a little sonar.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I don't feel it yet. Can't even get, I don't feel it. I'm not offended.
See here?
Who?
The reed.
Oh, no, he ain't hear you. But it's still early.
Hey, come on, get with it. They'll think you're a couple of squares.
She had a little fire left over for Mr. Drake, too.
Yeah, the 88 man grabbed her off, and then he gave her the fuller.
The fuller?
Brush. Brush.
No.
Alone, my heart.
Well, invite her over to the bar. Have a drink.
Okay, order me a double bourbon, and better make it the same for Fran.
Did she like that?
Oh, she can always give it to me. Pardon. Quinker. Well, hidey-dee, long time no. Hey, we really wrote and hired that shuffle of yours the other night, didn't we?
That was a wonderful jam.
Yeah.
Join us for a drink.
I'm afraid I'll have to take a rain check. I'm with the Nick Charles department tonight.
Nick Charles, the detective?
Yeah.
I don't care for anything.
I thought you told us he was a pump man.
Oh, well, I didn't want you to think I was loading up your jams with a bunch of squares.
They were the squarest couple of hipsters I've ever seen.
Yeah.
What are they doing in a trap like this?
They're looking for the reed. He's disappeared.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Why, darling, I thought that's what you came here to see Fran about.
Hmm? Oh, no. I came to see her about a job I can get her in Havana.
Well, Heidi D. Hey, Fran!
Oh, hello, Clinker.
Fran, I just caught you. Still the same old Fran. Still plugging the reed's tune, too.
It's the least I can do for him, isn't it?
No, I've been looking all over for him.
What do you want, lessons?
Oh, now, why don't you stay off it, Fran? You know I've always been in his corner.
Sorry. I got the jumps.
Hey, you need some laughs.
Come on out and meet a couple of friends of mine.
No, I don't feel like meeting anyone.
May we come in?
Oh, Fran, this is Mr. and Mrs. Nick Charles.
How do you do?
How do you do? Well, you're very jivey, a hep warbler.
Mr. Charles is a bit of a schmo.
Miss Page, I thought perhaps you might be able to help us locate Buddy Hollis. He seems to have evaporated.
Somebody's been giving you a bum steer. I don't know anything about Hollis.
Where is he?
Why don't you ask me if I killed Tommy Drake?
You probably had good reason to.
Look, your 3 minutes are up and this line is busy. So hang up the phone and get out.
What's the fuss?
Get him out of here.
Just going.
Okay, make mileage.
Oh, get lost, you offbeat rinky-dink. You're nowhere.
Reba!
I don't believe there is any such person as Buddy Hollis.
There must be. Missing Persons Bureau reported him seen in Chicago, Denver, Palm Beach, and Hollywood, but all at the same time.
Oh, darling, how could he be in all those places at the same time?
Split personality. Well, I think I detect a receipt hunting party of Mr. Amboy's.
Amboy? Nicky? Get in your own bed. Now you stay there, Esther.
Wonderful bed. I'm going to sleep for 20 years.
When you get up, don't wake me.
Ah! Nicky! What are you doing up, darling?
I heard your voices. I hardly ever get to see you. Look at what time it is.
Oh, that clock's fast.
Who's going to ride me to school in the morning?
Your father. We'll both ride you to school.
Now, you kiss this fiend goodnight and I'll plant him. Come on, off you go. Hurry!
Whoa!
Come on, you too, you night owl.
I'll sleep.
Here we go, the piggyback express to Sleepy Town.
How about a story, Dad?
Oh, no story for you tonight. You've got to get some sleep.
But your stories always put me to sleep.
Well, all right, but just a short one. Now, let's see. Oh, yes. Once upon a time, there was an outlaw named Dangerous Dan McGoop. Now, one... Well, what's this?
That's protection.
Oh, protection? I don't think you get much protection from an old blunderbuss like that. That's just an antique. Antique.
Well, what about McGoop?
Oh. Son, you know, I think that story's a little too scary for this time of night.
But I like to get scared.
Well, I don't. It frightens me. Look, I'll tell it to you the very first thing in the morning.
How's okay. That?
Good night, fella.
Good night, Pop.
Sleep tight. Good night, Asa. I'm getting dressed.
Dressed? Well, I might as well get up, too.
No, you're tired. You stay in bed.
Oh, I feel fine. All I needed was a good night's sleep. Why all the darkness? It's dark in here. Open the curtains and let some daylight in. What time is it?
4:00.
In the morning?
Yep.
Same morning?
Same morning.
Oh.
What are you getting dressed for?
Well, I'm going to run over and visit the Thayers.
4 o'clock in the morning?
Oh, that's the best possible time to ask questions. People aren't such artful dodgers at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I'm going with you.
Oh, you're going right back to bed.
We're in this together. I'm going with you. If I can ever get into my shoes again...
Yes, what is it?
Mr. and Mrs. Charles, to see Miss Thayer.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Miss Thayer is asleep.
It's very important. You better wake her.
Well, I'm afraid I can't.
John! John, what is it?
Miss Thayer, this is rather an unusual time to come visiting, but I've got to talk to you.
You've done enough talking already, Mr. Charles. Janet, I tried to get in touch with you. Mr. Charles had to do what he did.
Mm-hmm. It was for Brant's own good.
Oh, that's a neat switch. So now you're his benefactor.
And yours, too. Unless you'd enjoy being a widow.
Very well. Won't you sit down?
Thank you. Miss Thayer,
Would you like a drink?
Well, this is my brandy hour.
Mrs. Charles, would you like a drink?
I could stand some sherry.
Miss Thayer, the weapon that killed Tommy Drake seems to have the ballistics experts rather neatly stumped. That leads to one of two possible conclusions. Either the gun was handmade, or it was a pre-ballistics antique. Probably very early 18th century. Perhaps the property of some collector.
Oh, dear me, I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, here, use
this. All right. Thank you. Well, that's very interesting, Mr. Charles. But not interesting enough to come breaking down doors at this hour of the morning. My husband is neither a gunsmith nor an antique collector.
No, but wasn't the City Museum given a $1 million art collection by your father?
Oh, yes. Yes, Father gave the museum his Elizabethan and Chippendale pieces. His, Georgian silver. And, oh, yes, his Flemish paintings, his Reynolds and his Rembrandt.
Mm. Well, that was very generous of him, very generous indeed. Your father was a collector of many things, wasn't he? Coral, coins, jade, and I believe quite an assortment of 18th century firearms.
All the weapons my father had, pistols or guns, went to the museum. Just a minute, Mr. Charles. Just a minute.
Father seems to have overlooked a few. Am I to understand that the gun that hung here was given to the museum?
No, Mr. Charles. I didn't give that gun to the museum. It was my favorite. Originally owned by an 18th century nobleman. He used it only once to destroy a brigand who had certain aspirations toward the gentleman's daughter.
Mr. Thayer, you had that gun with you the night Drake was murdered.
Well?
Were you perhaps intending to use it on a brigand who had certain aspirations toward your daughter?
Perhaps. But he wasn't the man who was killed.
But he and Drake were just about the same height and build. And in the darkness of a below-decks office, there could have been a mistake.
True. But before Mr. Drake was killed, I was relieved of that gun by my son-in-law.
That's a fine wedding present for you. Throwing the whole mess right into Phil's lap. Here, son, I want you to feel secure for the rest of your life. You won't have anything to worry about until they throw the switch. You're lying and you know it, and you're better... Yes? This is she. I see. Yes, of course. Just a minute. Oh. All right. I see. Of course. I'm afraid you'll have to excuse me.
Janet. Janet. Well, do you wish to arrest me?
Mr. Thayer, I am not a policeman.
Well, if the police want my testimony, I'll be glad to oblige.
I'm sure that'll make the police very happy.
Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to go back to bed. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Darling, Mr. Thayer would like to go to bed.
Hmm.
Nice to know people still go to bed. Mr. Charles and I used to go to bed once. Oh.
Clock towers.
Apartment F, first bedroom to the right.
Uh-oh, driver, hold it.
I should have worn a sleeping bag.
125 Prospect Terrace, apartment 3A. Look at that.
Nick, we're going home. And I'm not tucking you in bed, I'm tying you in.
Look, if you'll just put your bleary blue eyes a little closer, you'll see it. It's the impression left by the pressure of a pencil.
Oh, yes. 125 Prospect Terrace.
A phone call at 4:30 in the morning must be pretty urgent. I have a hunch our headstrong heroine will be along soon. Sometimes I even amaze myself.
Follow that car?
Movie van.
Yes, follow it.
That jail doesn't look like 125 Prospect Terrace.
Oh. She's probably going to tip Brandt off to her father's story.
Your father started threatening me, and I took the gun away from him.
Well, what did you do with it?
I put it on the cabinet in my office. Never saw it again. You don't believe me, do you?
Honey, of course I do.
You're going to have to step on it. I told you this against the rules.
Just a moment, please. What will I do about this call?
Well, I don't know. But I guess it's worth a chance. Be careful.
All right, driver, keep right on it.
Now look, mister. The city shelled out over $10 million to install that traffic system. I don't think they'd have given the job to a guy that spells go, capital S-T-O-P.
He's right, Nick. It's spelled with a small s. No more jam sessions for me.
But that's our clarinet.
You're not so easy to
Friend Page.
No, you're
turn it off, dear, will you? It must have just happened. That record would have played for only about 3 minutes.
You don't think that Janet could... Oh. How did it happen?
I thought perhaps you could tell us.
She phoned me less than a half hour ago. Offered to sell me some information that would help Phil.
Sell or withhold information? About an antique gun, for instance?
It's true Phil got that gun from Father. But he didn't use it. He put it on a cabinet in his office and never saw it again.
I see. We followed you until you left the jail, and then we lost you. What delayed you?
The money. She wanted $2,500. I had to go to Phil's place to get it.
Miss Page didn't strike me as a blackmailing type.
Why, I don't think she was. She said she needed the money for somebody out of town. Had to have it in a hurry. She seemed quite upset and nervous about it.
Hollis doesn't seem to be anywhere in town.
Hello, Hotel Vesta.
Yes, Miss Payne stopped here several times.
Was she alone?
Now, see here, we don't go stooping on our guests. Their comings and goings are strictly their own business, and that applies to your Miss Page. She just stayed in her room and kept to herself. Except about 10 or 2, she'd go out and get back about 10 after 3, that's all. Outside of after dinner, when she did the same thing, only then she'd leave about 10 of 8 and get back about 10 after 9. That's all I know about her, because we don't go stooping on our guests.
I don't suppose you would remember whether she ever had any visitors.
Ain't a question of not remembering, just a question of not snooping on our guests. Ain't no concern of ours if some Al Amboy and a couple of his friends come visiting her. They were nice, polite young gentlemen, just went out with Miss Page about the same time. She never called a cab, and there was never any outside. So I just decided she liked to take walks for her health. And if you've come here to fish for information, you've come to the wrong place, because we never go snooping on our guests.
Mr. Purdy, telephone.
Yes.
10 to 2, 10 after 3, 10 to 8, 10 after 9. Sounds like visiting hours.
Those are visiting hours.
Hey, he latched on to something, teacher.
Are there any public institutions, a jail, a prison, or a hospital within 10 minutes' walk of here?
Fast walking or slow walking?
Never mind.
But you're sure there's no Hollis there?
I see.
Unless you want to try the city pound, the dump, or the waterworks, that just about takes care of all the public institutions in Poughkeepsie.
Hey, maybe he's in some private institution.
Clinker, you're magnificent. We just have to walk 10 minutes in various directions until we find the right institution. What, you've got the nose of a bloodhound.
Don't let him worry you. The rest of your face looks fine.
10 minutes right on the nose of the bloodhound.
And we're running out of directions.
Valley Rest Home?
Well, let's have a look.
I'm afraid Mr. Hollis's condition will not permit visitors.
Exactly what is his condition?
Exactly how does that concern you?
Dr. Manilow, we're his friends. We have the right to see him. Unless you produce him, I'll produce the police.
Bring in 9.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Hollis has not had very many visitors. His mind has been completely shattered by alcohol. He just sits in his room and plays the same melody over and over without variation. I must ask you to be very careful with him. He seems to be suffering from a deep-rooted guilt fixation. Visitors have a somewhat disturbing effect on him. Sometimes an alarming effect. Buddy, there are some friends here to see you. They want to talk to you.
Hiya, Kingpin.
I see you got the old jewel flute.
I heard you breezing it just now. Still head man, kid. Oh, come on, Candy boy. Don't you recognize me? This is the old Clinker. Remember how we used to bell it out at those jam sessions? Well, I just come up here to see how you feel. Well, I thought maybe there was something you might want. Radio? Noise box? Nothing happens. The poor guy's nowhere.
Buddy, the boys at the boat have been asking about you.
Boat?
They think you got a pretty rough deal from Tommy Drake.
Nurse! Buddy, buddy. All right, buddy. Visiting hours are over, buddy.
Isn't there any way to make him talk?
If there is, I don't know it.
Why do you think he kept staring at me that way?
Probably identified you with a Miss Page. She came to see him. She was very kind to him.
Do you think that perhaps if I were alone...
Much too risky. This is upsetting. He may become violent. I'm sorry. I will not permit it.
Well, we'll have to try something else. Thank you, Doctor. I'll be back.
You apparently have time to waste. I'm sorry. I haven't.
I'm sorry, but I'll be back.
I think maybe he'd open up if we kept coming around or something.
I think I'd rather figure out some or something.
Darling, I'm not very hungry. I think I'll go back to the hotel and freshen up.
Well,
I have half a Poughkeepsie on my face.
I like that corner particularly. We'll join you as soon as we finish.
Who gets the bone?
I do.
Well, we'll just send it to the laboratory. Have we any report on that case that came in yesterday?
Not yet.
I'm worried about that.
You're not afraid of me, are you? I'm a friend of Fran's. You remember Fran. We're doing an act together now. Great little partner, Fran. We always feature your song. Tears the place apart. Go on, play it. It's my favorite tune, too.
Suddenly got a sneaking suspicion that she wasn't going back to the hotel. So I checked and found I was right. She didn't by any chance come back here to take a second crack at Hollis, did she?
I'm sorry to disappoint you, Mr. Charles. Your wife is not here. Please.
That's swell, buddy. Swell. Buddy, I want you to tell me.
Fran always used to come in right on cue. I'll brace it again, and you try it. Go on, take it.
I can't. I have a sore throat. I caught a cold last night. I'll tell Fran I saw you. I'll tell her you played the song for me.
You don't sing with Fran.
Buddy, I'm trying to...
You never sang with Fran. They sent you. They sent you to spy on me.
No,
they
no,
told
no.
you to say that Fran sent you, didn't they?
No.
Yeah, I killed Drake. Now I have to kill you.
No.
That's why I hid the gun for
you. No, 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 no.
I have to kill you.
Nobody, no, 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 no. I'm all right.
Take it easy, boy. Take it easy.
How did you come to have a gun? Don't you search the rooms or your patients? The rest home, not a jail or an asylum. Give him some water. There's some hand grenades to play with.
Nick, that's the murder gun. He confessed he killed Tommy Drake.
I see. I'll take that.
Just a minute.
I think this may interest the police. Let's go.
Yes, I'm calling New York.
Darling, why bother to call? We'll be home in a couple of hours.
I just want to hear my son's voice. For a moment there, I didn't think I'd ever hear it again. Hollis certainly didn't look like a killer.
Maybe he isn't.
Oh, Nick, he admitted it. He even took a shot at me.
For a complete miss.
Meaning what?
Meaning that in his condition, he couldn't hit the ocean from a rowboat. And Tommy Drake was shot right through the middle of the heart.
Then why did he confess?
Well, cracked minds play funny tricks on you. And by the same token, you can play funny tricks on cracked minds. Now, I have a hunch that Fran Page knew exactly who the trickster was. That's why she was murdered.
Oh, I see. All you have to do to prove your innocence is confess your guilt. Yes, yes, I'm calling New York. Hello? Oh, hello, Mrs. Charles. I just came up to talk to your husband. Oh, no, no, I can't talk to him on the phone. I'll wait.
May I talk to her, please?
Bertha? Oh, yes, she's here.
May I talk to her, please?
Mom. When are you coming home?
Hello, darling. I'm afraid we won't be able to have dinner with you again. Yes, you can stay up until 9:30. We'll come in and kiss you when we get home. Tell Bertha we'll be home in a few hours.
Okay, I'll tell her as soon as she comes in. Bye.
As soon as she... Nicky!
Come on, Mammy. We don't want to settle in Poughkeepsie. What's the matter?
Nothing. Janet's waiting at the apartment. She wants to talk to you.
Well, it's all set. The hound can ride with us. In the baggage car. Do you always have to ride in the baggage car because of the M-U-T-T?
He understands every word.
Two spades.
Two no trump.
With a hand like his, I should have a finger bowl. I'd pass.
Three no trump.
I'd pass.
Well, what do you think?
He needs glasses.
Yes. Either that or he has something in his eye. What is it, boy, Cinder?
Yeah. Let me see. It's a man. Hold still. Hold still.
So let me see that. Why, that's the same. Of course, I remember the lace perfectly. Where'd you get this?
East Fifth Avenue, I think.
I mean, is it yours?
Nick, I only steal cocktail napkins. Of course it's mine. No, it's Janet's. But she spilled that drink last night. I must have taken it. Yes, I had that bag.
This is exactly like the handkerchief that was lying beside Fran Page's body. I thought it was odd that Miss Janet got there after we did, and then burst in without knocking.
Nick. Janet's home alone with Nicky.
What do you mean, alone?
I thought I didn't hear right. Nicky said Bertha was out. Nick, Janet got rid of her. She lied to me. She said that Bertha was there. Why would she lie to me unless... Nick, you know how she hates us. She blames us for everything. This may be her way of... Nick, what do we do?
How long before we get to New York?
Oh, an hour at least.
Hour?
Yeah. Oh, no. Nobody's going to hurt a little kid.
Oh, that's right, Mummy. No one would hurt a little boy.
How could you leave him alone with a strange woman?
But I thought she was your friend. She only wanted me to go down to the druggist to get her some headache tablets. I wouldn't have gone, only she looked so pale and weak. I couldn't refuse her, could I?
Why couldn't you refuse her?
Darling, how could she know?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Gee, Mr. Charles, not a sign of him. I've been all over the neighborhood. The elevator boy remembered taking him down, and that Thayer chick told him to tell Bertha they'd be back in a little while.
2 hours is quite a little while. Your kid. Yeah, we get on it right away. Yes, right away.
Make you some fresh coffee.
Thank you, Bertha.
None for me.
Oh, you better have some, darling. It'll calm your nerves.
Nicky, check with the police again.
Darling, I checked 5 times. They're tearing up the town. If anything pops, they'll call us.
Hey, Mom! Pop!
Nicky, darling.
I've been pinched, Nicky.
Where'd you find him, Kramer?
Nabbed him coming out of the Capitol Theater.
Darling, would you take Nicky to his room, please?
Come, dear.
Miss Thayer, I'm afraid I'm going to have to be blunt. Just exactly what's the idea?
I'll be glad to tell you. You'll just give me a chance to catch my breath.
Well, thank you, Kramer.
It's a pleasure. I'll report to headquarters.
Well?
While Bertha was out, you had some visitors. They insisted upon waiting for you. One of them kept playing with a knife.
Oh, yes?
The other kept eyeing little Nicky and repeating how tough it would be on you if anything ever happened to the youngster. I got worried, so I took him into the bedroom and pretended to put him to bed, and I took him out the bedroom door.
I'm very grateful to you for that.
Well, I can't understand it making such a fuss.
Well, perhaps this will explain.
That's what I came to see you about. Yes, I did get to Fran's apartment before you. She was dead when I got there. I was going to remove the knife, and then I remembered about fingerprints, so I took out my handkerchief. But I just couldn't. So I got up and ran, and I was afraid of being seen, and I started down the back staircase, and suddenly I remembered the handkerchief. I rushed back to get it and found you there. Well, I don't know why I didn't tell you about it. I guess I just got panicky. Oh, that's the truth. Please believe me.
Nick, you awake?
No, I'm asleep.
Why are your eyes open?
Counting sheep.
I bet they're black ones, like Amboy and his pals.
And Brandt, and Hollis, and Fran Page.
Are you sure her murder was tied up with Drake's?
I think it adds up. Fran Page was going to talk. If she intended to pin the Drake murder on Hollis, why should anyone have wanted to kill her? Hollis is hopelessly insane, totally unresponsible for his acts. No. She was obviously going to pin it on someone else. And that someone else did away with her.
And with Hollis in his present condition and taking the blame, this someone else probably feels pretty safe.
But suppose Hollis regained his senses.
All you'd have to do is perform a miracle and cure him.
The impression that Hollis is cured and ready to talk is all we'd need. What would happen? The killer would undoubtedly try to get him before he had a chance to talk. That might be our chance to get the killer. Mammy, I think we're going to reopen the SS fortune.
We?
You and I and the police department?
My Nicky. Mr. Brandt.
My table.
I didn't know you'd be here tonight. The only table I have left is...
Oh, it's a wonderful crowd. But, Nick, what worries me...
Table 3, Mr. Brandt. Is that all right?
That's okay.
George, table 3 for Mr. Brandt.
Yes, Mr. Brandt.
They promise they come, Phil, and if they do, I want them in our table. What's all this finger business about?
I'm having the most likely candidate seated where I can watch them squirm.
Well, it goes as smoothly as you expect. Anything should happen to poor Hollis.
I've taken every precaution. Sergeant, your slip is showing.
Oh. Thanks, Nick. There's the inspector. Everything all right, Nick?
All right. Now all we have to do is sit quiet, keep our fingers crossed.
My fingers crossed now. I can't lift my drink.
Uh-oh. Some shiny eyes in the jungle.
Albert.
Mr. Talbin.
Our reservation.
Of course, Mr. Talbin. Just a moment, please. Table 4, Mr. Talbin.
Thank you.
George, table 4.
Yes, Mr. Talbin.
Well, my old friend Slushpump.
How do you do?
Mr. Hello? Talbin, you attend all the openings?
Naturally. This is my business. If Hollis has really come out of the fog and is half as good as he used to be, I can book him.
I think he's going to surprise you.
Stunning jewelry. Those earrings.
Very attractive.
Earrings are higher up. Oh, charm boy.
Table for four. Al Amboy.
Yes, Mr. Amboy. Table 2, Mr. Amboy. Henry, table 2.
This way, please.
Good evening, Mrs. Amboy.
Good evening.
Well, Amboy. How did you enjoy your trip to Poughkeepsie?
I loaned Fran Page the dough to send Hollis up there. He's okay now, so I'm here to collect.
Someday I'm going to take lessons from you on how to get blood out of a stone.
I just have my boys break it up into little pieces.
Remind me not to turn my back on that little group tonight.
Nick, that Mrs. Amboy, the necklace she's wearing.
She can afford it.
But it matches Mrs. Talbin's earrings.
Let's have champagne tonight, Al.
Sure.
I don't feel like dancing, Mitch. Let's hit this one out.
Anything you say, baby. How much would a trinket like that cost?
Why, darling.
$12,000?
The value's unimportant. It's the thought.
The thought happens to be that $12,000 is just about the amount that Drake owed Mr. Amboy.
Oh.
Well, boss man, everything looks set. The doc says the joint's having a kind of a restorative effect on the reed. He's even got him convinced he's never been away. That all that murder biz was strictly a bad dream. So he'll play all right. He'll look good up there, too.
Well, prettier the bait, the better the catch.
Come again?
That's an old saying I just made up.
Look, boss man.
Uh-oh. Fishes number 5 and 6 are beginning to nibble.
Ah, 5.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, good evening.
Good evening.
I was using my influence to try to get you a good table.
We're sitting with Mr. Brandt.
I didn't think you people could be dragged into this place.
I couldn't very well offend Mr. Brandt. After all, he's a member of the family now.
We'll see you later.
Just there. I ran across your gun. The Valley Rest Home in Poughkeepsie. The inspector insisted that I leave it with him. He has some strange notion that since Brandt is a member of your family now, he's trying to shield you.
The inspector is famous for his little jokes.
Hey, boss man, I hate to bring this up, but I don't know about sitting next to the reed. Suppose somebody takes a shot at him and misses.
Would you rather he were hit?
Oh, no, but if you miss one thing, well, you're bound to hit another. And I thought instead of being up on the stand beside him, I could kind of play off stage.
Why don't you bring your instrument to the table? That would be even safer. Unless our murderer makes a cushion shot.
Oh, that's what I like. Sympathy.
Nick, if you saw something you knew wasn't there, what would you do?
I'd go back to Poughkeepsie with Dr. Monoloff.
And you saw a blank space where you knew something should be.
I see that all the time.
What is it?
Mrs. Amboy's necklace. She isn't wearing it anymore. Well, I don't like it, Al.
Sorry, but that's the way it's got to be. No, she isn't.
And Mrs. Talbin is wearing it.
It matches her earrings perfectly.
What do you get out of it?
Some urge to merge with Talbot's. Come on.
I'm sending Johnson down to Rio to close the deal. I think it'd be a sensation. Something like a mist. Got more cover.
This is not really my racket, is it? I have to give her one whirl around the floor to keep the franchise.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Oh, I wanted to ask to stay and have a drink with us, but those tables for two are hardly big enough to hold one.
Have a drink with us when you finish dancing.
We're finished.
Waiter.
It's a wonderful opening.
Well, think Hollis will ever be able to take Drake's place?
Nobody will ever be able to take Tommy Drake's place.
Yes, I know how you folks feel about him. After all, it was really you who cleared up his debt, wasn't it?
I told you I didn't let him have the money.
What difference? $12,000 or a necklace probably worth more.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You should. Didn't you just redeem the necklace?
Mrs. Talbin's been wearing that necklace all evening.
In that case, somebody had better tell Mrs. Amboy she's lost hers.
Wait a minute. I just redeemed the necklace in the powder room.
What?
I gave it to Amboy that night. I didn't want anything to happen to Tommy Drake.
And I nearly threw a $100,000 tour in that guy's lap.
That tour would have meant a lot of money to you, too, wouldn't it?
Of course.
But you wouldn't advance him the $12,000? Even though you knew Amboy was preparing a cement kimono for him?
I told you he was a bad risk.
Seems very puzzling. But
I'm sure that Hollis will soon make it all very clear.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Buddy Hollis and his famous clarinet. At the end of this number, Buddy is going to make an announcement. He's going to throw a little bombshell into the Tommy Drake murder case.
I guess this is it. Time for that little bombshell. Buddy, tell everyone how Tommy Drake was murdered. Tell them how the murderer took advantage of your condition and planted a gun on you. And then worked on you until he had you convinced that you had killed Drake. And how, with murder on your conscience, you went completely to pieces. Tell them why Fran Page was murdered. How she came to visit you several times at the Valley Rest home. And gradually pieced things together and threatened to talk. Tell them about the someone who went to her apartment to try to keep her quiet, and couldn't, and how he turned on her phonograph, loud, so that her screams couldn't be heard as he plunged his knife into her. You told me who he is, you told the police. I'll tell all these people who he is. Tell them. Tell them! Come on, buddy, tell them.
Never mind, buddy. I'll tell them. It's true about Fran. I killed her, I had to. And I killed Tommy Drake. I didn't intend to. I wanted to keep away from Phyllis. I went to reason with him, and when I saw that gun on the cabinet, I
think we know the rest.
I don't think you do. Everything would have been all right if you hadn't meddled into it. Well, this is the last time you're going to meddle.
Keep away, all of you. Don't touch him. You knew about Tommy and me all along. Weren't you clever? That's why you wouldn't lend him the money that night. You wanted Amboy to kill him. But I crossed you up by paying Amboy off with my necklace.
I couldn't let him take you away from me.
At first, I thought Phil Brandt did it. That's why I took a shot at him at the Charles apartment. But you did it. You did it.
Mrs. Talbin, let the police have it.
I swore I'd kill the man who shot Tommy Drake.
Well, I guess you did.
And think you did it all with your own little hatchet. I'm proud of you, Doc.
Thank you, Angel. Now Nick Charles is going to retire.
You through with crime?
No, I'm going to bed.
That reminds me. Mm-hmm.